Hi, I'm Ronnie Rice, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Hello, how you doing? Hope you had a great week. I am your host, Brian Zemrak. This is episode 681 of On Screen and Beyond, the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have Ronnie Rice joining us. Now, Ronnie was the lead singer of the New Colony 6 hits in 1968 called I Will Always Think About You and Things I'd Like to Say, along with other songs. Be sure to listen to that coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. Ronnie Rice, a lot of fun talking with him, and he's going to talk about his career and the music that they did back when he was in the New Colony 6. A lot of fun, so be sure to keep listening to On Screen and Beyond and listen to that one. And Liam Neeson has stuff coming up, and even they're going to make a movie about Jimmy Stewart, or James Stewart, whichever way you want to go with it, and Danny Trejo is coming out with another movie, and a lot of good stuff. So we're going to give you all that information in a couple minutes right here on Screen and Beyond, so keep listening. And you still have time to get in on the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest, where you can win yourself an On Screen and Beyond embroidered baseball cap with the On Screen and Beyond logo on it, or you have a choice of also you could get the mug, the coffee mug from On Screen and Beyond. Or you can go to On Screen and Beyond and click on the On Screen and Beyond merchandise button, and you can go and buy some stuff, t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, jackets, whatever, I don't know. It's all, I got glasses and everything. So be sure to check that out at onscreenandbeyond.com. And I hope you're all listening and enjoying all the episodes we have. Hope you're telling a friend about On Screen and Beyond. Hope you're subscribing to get it immediately as soon as it is put out there. Like I say, that doesn't cost anything. It's not a subscription in the sense of, you know, you're paying for something. It's just what they call it. Different podcast providers call it different things. Some say following or whatever. Click on that button, and what it does essentially is the second I release the episode each week, it is going to go to you right off. You don't even have to go look at it, you know, to find it or find us and all that stuff. Trying to figure out if I am putting an episode out on that day. Is it coming out a day before, a day after, 2 days before, whatever? It automatically comes to you as soon as we put it out. So I hope you'll check that out, and that'll be one way you can get things faster and just have a good time listening to the episodes of On Screen and Beyond. And let's see, we have all kinds of guests coming our way. I hope you'll be listening to all of those, and we have a lot of fun coming your way. That's all I can tell you. It's just a lot of great guests, interesting people. And of course, if you go in our rerun section, you can hear a lot of people going all the way back for the past 17 years. This is episode 681. We're coming up on 700 episodes of On Screen and Beyond. Hard to believe. And, it's just been a lot of fun. I hope you're going to keep listening. Well, why don't we do it? Why don't we get into this episode of On Screen and Beyond? It is time for remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes, sequels, and prequels. Liam Neeson, he's back, and he will return as Mark McCann in Ice Road 2, Road to the Sky. And The Quiet Place Day 1 will arrive in theaters in June. And the film of the life of acting legend James Stewart, or Jimmy Stewart, as a lot of you know him as, is going to be called A Truly Wonderful Life. And that's coming our way. Of course, that is a reference to It's a Wonderful Life, which we see every year at Christmas time and everything. So be sure to check that one out. Mira Savino says Robin Schiff is writing the sequel to Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. So it is moving along, and we've heard a lot about it, but it's finally going to move along. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, Channing Tatum will star in a true crime film called Roof Man. It's about a guy who broke into more than 60 McDonald's, so I guess you could really call him the real Hamburglar. So, also, Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell will star in A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. And Kate Winslet, she's going to be starring in a World War II drama called Lee. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies and TV on DVD and streaming, It's a Wonderful Knife. Not It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Knife. With Joel McHale and Justin Long, we'll be taking a stab at your wallet on Blu-ray and DVD on April 9th. And Danny Trejo stars in Green Ghosts and the Masters of Stone on DVD and Blu-ray. It's out right now. And Nova, Easter Island Origins, goes DVD on April 30th. And 1976's The Swiss Conspiracy with David Janssen and Elke Sommer is out on Blu-ray and DVD right now. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, this is Carl Reiner on Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time, Demi Moore will star in Paramount Plus's Landman alongside Billy Bob Thornton. And Netflix has greenlit two documentaries on the Boston Red Sox. And Giancarlo Esposito will star in Parrish. Now, this is a thriller set in New Orleans on AMC. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we're going to sit down. We are going to chat with Ronnie Rice. He's the lead singer of the New Colony Six's hits in 1968 called I Will Always Think About You and Things I'd Like to Say, and a host of other songs. And Ronnie is a lot of fun to talk to. Ronnie Rice, next on Screen and Beyond. Today on Screen and Beyond, our guest was part of the 60s group The New Colony Six, and he co-wrote and sang the top 40 hits I Will Always Think About You and Things I'd Like to Say. It's Ronnie Rice. Ronnie, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Now, Ronnie, rock and roll history. This is what you are. I mean, you had top 40 hits. You had you were involved with a band, and what was it like when you first started out?
Well, I think first starting out, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me go back a little bit, because when I was 16 years old, I ran into a DJ who lived here in Chicago and was on a station here. Can I mention the station? Or
sure.
Doesn't matter. WLS here in Chicago. It was a 50,000 watt station. Went all over quite a bit, all over the country. Not all over the country, but quite a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, he was a very popular DJ here, and I found out where he lived when I was in high school. I knocked on his door. I had a demo with me, which is a demonstration record, which had four tunes that I'd sung. One was O'Donna by Richie Valens. The other one was something that I'd written, and so on and so forth. So I knocked on his door. He answered the door. He was wonderful. He said, come on in. And he listened to the demo, and he introduced me to a guy who was a program director of that WLS super big station. They, in turn, introduced me to the strongest promotion man in the city of Chicago as far as record promoting. So these guys had a tie-up. About 90% of what we were hearing on Rock and Roll Station was because of a guy named Pete Wright and Howard Bednall, two guys that were the biggest promotion men in the city. So they, in turn, said, come on, let's record you. They figured maybe this kid will be a teenage idol. They were wrong. But at the same time, went into the studio, and I went with a band that I had known at the time, and they were, local band, whatever. And I said, would you guys back me up? Let's do Runaway by Del Shannon. Okay, great. So I listened to myself for the first time coming out of these recording speakers, these record company or not, recording studio speakers. And I'd never heard myself recorded in that way. And I was a little nervous because it was like Pete, these guys were there listening to me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they said, it's one of those old sayings where it is, it's okay, don't worry about it, we'll give you a call. Don't call us, we'll call you. And I didn't leave. I just said, nah, let me do it again. And I did it again, and they signed me to a local recording contract here. And so that's what happened. And from that, here's a major radio station playing a first tune, a thing called Over the Mountain, which a friend of mine wrote. It wasn't Over the Mountain Across the Sea by Johnny and Joe. It was Over the Mountain, an original song.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do anything, but it got on the charts, and here I am at 16 years old in high school, junior, and people are hearing yours truly. And now the New Colony Six, I met them after I was in high school. I went to Columbia College for about 10 minutes, and I meet these guys who are familiar with my background. They wanted to replace their keyboard player. And they were called New Colony Six. Now, I didn't know who they were. However, this was a year later. I'm kind of going further than I have to at this point. But I met them at Columbia College. They told me there would have been a band called New Colony Six. Nobody knew who they were at the time because they hadn't had anything out at that point. And they went to California to try to make it, I guess, on their own. Coming back, and they weren't able to do that. And all of a sudden, there was a local record company that Ray Graffy, who is the founder of the New Colony Six, along with a guy named Pat McBride. These guys were the founders and the fathers. Ray Graffy's father actually put together a record label. And anyhow, that being said, they were also introduced to Pete and Howard. And this was before, again, a year before I joined with the Colony. And they put out a record called I Confess.
Mm-hmm.
And locally, it did like number two here. So we were the first band, actually New Colony Six was the first group that actually made it chart-wise nationally. And we didn't do very well, Lashley, with I Confess. Again, I wasn't on yet on the tune.
Right.
But again, about like I say, after I Confess came out, it was a local big record on WLS. And as it turns out, I guess a year later, people knew who they were and everything. Like I say, it became a number two record on the records, on the radio station. And then they wanted to change their keyboard player. Now, I don't play keyboards. I'm terrible at it. Yet again, I passed the audition. And here I was. You know, I was downstairs with them in the basement of one of the guys' homes and played the guitar and sang. And let's put Ronnie in. All right. So here I was. So I was in the group. And the first tune I was on with them was a song called I Love You So Much.
Mm-hmm.
That also became a number two record. I was singing background, came up with some background stuff, whatever. And as it turns out, it became, like I say, a number two record here. And I forgot what number it hit nationally. It didn't do great, but it did hit national a little bit. And so there I was with the New Colony, and bingo, bango. So time goes by. And
Now, wait a minute. You got to tell me this, Ronnie. Now, you said you weren't a keyboardist.
But
played the keyboard.
I did. I faked it. Man, I was like, one finger on the left hand, which should use your whole hand, actually.
Yeah.
But, that first finger, boom. And then you got your right hand and playing a chord. So I was able to manipulate just as basic, you know, Farfisa organ, which, you know, again, was a garage band situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I confess, I mean, I just, like an animal tune or, you know, whatever. It was like, for some odd reason, it worked. But since I realized we need more than me, I can't do this. I can't do this. So as it turns out, I brought in a guy named Chuck Jobes, and he's in Florida now. But yet again, this guy can play anything. Fantastic, great keyboard player. And when we did other people's tunes, which we had to do anyway, which were tunes that were making it at the time, Chuck was perfect for it. I mean, absolutely perfect. He was great. So he was a seventh member. So when we did the Mike Douglas show later on in our career, all of a sudden, Mike Douglas looks and he goes, wait a minute, there's seven of you. I go, yeah, do Colley seven. What do you think? The sound is good? I don't know. Anyway, hey,
you guys are musicians. You're not mathematicians. So.
That's right. As it turns out, you know, knock on wood, it was great. I mean, look at it. We needed him, obviously. Worked out fantastic. And since that time, we kept going, you know. So things became, when I sat down with, actually, I brought another guy into the band because they got rid, there were changes. As there are in many bands, I mean, you know, there are people either move on or they get kicked out. So we had a bass player named Wally Kemp. He was the original guy as well with New Colony before I ever got in. And they decided they wanted a different bass player. Wally was, I thought, well, obviously Wally would have worked. It's okay. But the vote was again. And Wally was the kind of guy that didn't mind. He goes, okay, you know, he moved onward and did whatever he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy. But I brought in the guy who wrote I Will Always Think About You and Things Like to Say with me, Les Kummel. Now, Les isn't around anymore, but back then, he was a very good bass player. And again, like I, you know, when I met Les, Les wasn't yet in the band when we wrote I Will Always and Things Like to Say. Wait a minute, he must have been, I don't know. Anyways, it turns out, I brought Les Kummel in. Les became a bass player. He's the one you hear on the records. And that's pretty much it. You know, we wrote I Will Always, and we got it. All of a sudden, I'm driving down the street one day after writing the song, and we stopped these. There were a couple of girls or something. I wanted to kind of see what they thought of the song. And for some odd reason, I don't know what it was. I don't know how we got them back to the house or whatever. I think this is true, if my memory serves me wrong. And I go, hey, what do you think? And one girl started crying. So I said, ooh, maybe we got something. Now, I presented I Will Always Think About You, the New Colony 6. This is after I Love You So Much and mm-hmm. after a song I'd written called Treat Her Groovy. I think that came at the time. Well, the audience was smart enough in the, you know, radio listening world to think that Treat Her Groovy wasn't going and it ain't going to happen. That didn't do that well. But then when I Will Always Think About You, I introduced it to the Colony, and they didn't think it was, Ray Graffio wasn't big on the tune. And yet again, Pete Wright and Howard Benno, the two record promoters, independent record promoters, they thought it was a hit. And if it wasn't for them, I don't think we would have ever heard of New Colony 6 as it is. But the first week I Will Always Think About You came out, it was introduced here, and I go, I'll never forget it because I listened to radio the night it was premiered, and they had what they call a countdown, you know, and you could vote for your favorite tune. And that evening they would mention the tunes. You know, number 10 this tonight is so-and-so. These are all on the people requesting. So number 10 requested, blah, blah, blah. Number 8, 9, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. I said, oh, my God, we didn't make it. We didn't make it on. Nobody voted. And we were number one requested. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Was I Will Always Think About You. A week later was number one in Louisville. So I guess we had our first real big tune. And it, again, did very well for us, thanks. And so after that, you know, here we go. Keep moving on, you know, and then whatever.
Yeah. So had you written many other songs before I will always think about you?
Well, what happened is, you know, obviously all the guys in the band would partake in writing. I mean, everybody liked to write. So, you know, everybody wants to come up with a winner if you can. Mm-hmm. And there were other tunes that I'd written. I mean, there were about 7 tunes that the Colony had recorded that we had out that I was part of. So as far as writing them, you know, La Treat Her Groovy, Take Her to a Movie, you know, where Treat Her Groovy was hit back then. So we, you know, I used Nothing Became of It. The listening audience decided, well, Treat Her Groovy next. And that was the end of that one. So forget about it. Yet again, I think there was somebody in Europe, I think, and I think it was England that came out with an album called Treat Her Groovy, which was some of our tunes or something. I don't know. So that's what I know, Jack. So tell me, ask me more. Go ahead. I'm ready for you.
Yeah. So now, were you decked out in the garb of, you know, the New Colony Six?
It's a great question. Great question. New Colony, again, when they, prior to being known and wanted to be known, went to L.A., ran into a group called Paul Revere and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Noticed they had the same idea as wearing colonial stuff. And that was just a coincidence. They came back here. They're still wearing those things. I, after wearing outfits of the same, such as we had different things that we'd all wear, which everybody looked the same. And I finally said, no more of this stuff. Let's just go independent here. Let's each do our own idea what we want to wear. And that's what it turned out to be. We did it for a little while, and then after 67, 1968, we finally became our own stylists. Yeah. You want to call it that. Mr. Blackwell, thank you very much. You know, do it. Yeah. Couldn't undo it. But, yeah. So, I'm holding back because I wanted you to ask the question. Why do I keep rambling on, you know?
No, that's
all right.
Must
be the coffee. It's got to be the coffee. I know it is. So wait a minute. Let me tell you. Anyway, go ahead.
So here you are. You're with the group. Now, how long did you stay with the New Colony Six?
Well, I think I joined around 66 or 67. They first came out on the air at 1965. So, as I said, the Colony was the first one that came out of Chicago. Then came Shadows of Night. And then came all your other bands, as you know, such as the Buckinghams, mm-hmm. who became the biggest group of the time at the time out at City. They were huge. And yet again, then we had the Ides of March. And you got American Breed, fantastic record. Ben Miché, man, I love that song. Anyway, and then Chicago, of course, which were the Beatles of out of here. They're the biggest that we ever had. Styx also came out of here. Who am I missing? I know I must be missing somebody. Buckinghams, American Breed, Shadows. Yeah, I guess I'm Crying Shames.
Crying Shames.
So, you know, we had a number of people that came out after we started, and some of which, REO Speedwagon, Kevin's a good guy, but Kevin, they were out of Champagne. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, when the New Colony worked with them, we had, actually they opened up for us, but Kevin wasn't yet in the band. Nobody knew REO, and all of a sudden Kevin joins and they explode. Hmm. But yeah, it's incredible. Wow. So, and the beat goes on anyway. So things just keep going. You know me? That's right.
So. Yeah. So now, why did you leave the group? Did you just go on to other things?
Well, it's got to the point where things weren't really happening anymore as far as, you know, booking. They were okay, but not great. Not like it was. And I thought, with Pete Wright still being our manager, whatever the case, I figured, you know, Pete's the one who started me. Let's see if we can get a tune out, you know, something that I'd written. And so I tried something. I forget exactly what the song was. A couple of things, but nothing really became of it. I mean, I did one tune that Jimmy Clanton did. Remember old Jimmy Clanton?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just a Dream. That was a dude. And Venus in Blue Jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And So anyway, he recorded something I had written. Nothing became of it. By the way, just, I don't know if you're interested, but I'll tell you anyway. One of the B-52s recorded Things I Like to Say, which I'd written later with Les Como. And, you know, we were lucky with it because it became our biggest tune nationally. And so, as it turns out, I find out later on, this is just not too long ago, that B-52s, what's her name? Who's the one that did the tune? The blonde.
Geez, I've met her. I'm trying to think.
Come on, man. You the DJ. Yeah. No, go ahead. Wait a minute. I forgot. Wilson. Something Wilson.
Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't ring a bell.
But, whatever. Yeah. Okay, folks. Anyhow, she recorded it. She put on an album. I heard her rendition of it, and nothing became of it either on that one. It's too bad. But yet again, it is what it is, you know.
Now, does a song, do they have to get your permission to do that, or how does that work?
No, they could go ahead and do it. You know, it's all copywritten stuff. So, indeed, if you do get fortunate with a hit tune, still, you're the writer. You still get paid royalties if it's played on the air, and they send that to you. You're hooked up with either ASCAP, as they call it, or BMI, Broadcast Music Incorporated. And they're the ones who log, in other words, on the air. If you're being played, they're the ones supposedly logging it, and they send it. And then you get your royalties maybe quarterly to start with. Right now I'm getting them 3 times a year, but, you know, you get a few bucks. It's not a lot. It could be a few hundred bucks. It used to be $1,000 this or something. And again, whatever I got, Les Como got the same because he was half writer on it. So as it turns out, it's a fortunate situation where you still get paid. So it's not, like I say, it's nice little cash money to come in. Comes in, so it helps you out. It's not a bad thing. It's always fun to get money in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
And, especially for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing, y'all. It's a wall. Get out of here. But anyway. So let's see. What else can I tell you there, Brian?
Well, I was wondering. You mentioned, and I get the two guys mixed up, so excuse me. You mentioned either Merv or Mike. Merv Griffin or Mike Douglas, whichever it was. Mike Douglas. Okay.
Yeah, we wanted to do Ed Sullivan, believe it or not, but we got the Mike Douglas show.
Yeah.
And when we got there, I'll never forget it, because we got there late. We were supposed to be there earlier. I guess the director wasn't very happy. But it didn't matter. We did the show. It's on YouTube. Anybody wants to look at it. But, he's looking under Mike Douglas Show, 1969, New Colony 6, and that's it. It's fun to see yourself when you were thin and actually looked better. That was kind of cool. Look at it, go, gosh, what happened to me? Anyway, so... That's showbiz, baby. Get older.
Had you ever been on American Bandstand or any of those other ones?
Never. No, that's interesting. We never did get on American. We never did. I don't know whether we ever tried to push that or what.
Yeah, I would have thought Dick Clark would have jumped on you guys.
You would have thought we could have been on there. However, we were on a couple of things. Right? You know, when you go from city to city, there are some cities that have these record hop type shows. So you get on those, you know, which are local or whatever they are around the States. They have these things. Like we did something, I don't know if it was out of Philadelphia. It had actually the original Temptations on there. It had Brooklyn Bridge on there that day. They had us on there. It was pretty cool. So you get to meet a lot of people as you do move on here and there. And there was a show we did called Scene 70. I think that was it. I'm not sure. Came out of Texas, and it was, I think, there was a guy named, what was his name? Lloyd? I don't know what his name was. I forgot already. What the show was about was new groups around the country that were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the week before us was the Chambers Brothers. And then all of a sudden, we come on there. And when I heard the playback, now Les would sing the background. When I went into the trailer afterwards to watch what we had just done, I didn't want to go back to Chicago. It was terrible. I'm listening to it. I'm like, for you, where are you? I didn't know where the F came from. I'm going, oh, my Lord, I can't go back and face the rest of the guys in Chicago. You're like the Buckinghams. It's just terrible. Huh. But anyway, it was aired and it came out. And I remember Lloyd Thaxton, that's the guy's name. Remember okay. that name,
yes,
Lloyd
yes,
Thaxton?
Yep.
Yeah, he was emceeing this. It was an ABC summer replacement show for Jerry Lewis show. Mm-hmm. And it, he said, well, don't worry, there'll be 30 million people watching. I said, okay, that's great. So I remember one day I asked John, I'm name dropping here, I asked John Denver, we did a gig with him at a college somewhere, and needless to say, he was the main event, and I asked him before he went on stage, I said, do you ever get nervous before you get up there? He goes, no. I'm going, oh, great. I wish you would have said yes. But anyway, you know, you meet different people. It's pretty cool, though. It's a cool business. Knock on wood, we got luck. We got lucky. We didn't get lucky as others, but we did a whole lot better than others. So
yeah.
There were, you know, it is what it was. And I'm very, very lucky. That's all I can tell you.
Hi, this is Bernie Coppell. I'm on Screen and Beyond. This is Chaos with Don Shushia.
Of all the people that you did meet, were there any that you were just, you know, starstruck that you were working with this person?
Oh, yeah, the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, wow.
Oh, that was a ball, man. Woo-hoo. We had a great time. That was great. They had... As a matter of fact, I don't know who hooked it up originally, but when we did, we opened up for them, needless to say. But when we were with them, they had the Surf's Up album out and so on. And there really wasn't, we weren't filling places. The Beach Boys were not filling rooms. It was, believe me, it was empty. And not basically real empty, but it was like very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, they asked us to come on a second tour with them. So we did other states with them. We were on a bus with them, I remember, and Dennis Wilson, everybody but Brian Wilson was still in the band. Carl Wilson, a very nice guy. And that was a pleasure for me because I used to collect their albums and I love the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that really was exciting. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are you still performing? I know last year you were you were performing with the Buckinghams and the Crying Shames at
We're still doing it. We're doing one coming up, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's called The Cornerstones of Rock, which was aired on PBS.
Yep.
Here and there and wherever. And we did that a number of years ago. And as it turns out, I'll tell you, man, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun because you get to see the guys. You get to play with a band, you know, because I do solo, but I've been on my own, just myself, the guitar, and the audience, which has been fabulous because it's like a party for me. You mm-hmm. guys remember this one, remember that one, bingo, bingo, and it's going to be the stuff I grew up with.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like Rudy Valley. No, I'm kidding, but it's not that quite that big. But as it turns out, it's a ball. So we're going to get together again. We got another job coming up. Or gig, Mom. It's a gig. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Waukegan, Illinois, at a Genesee Theater. And it's going to be the Cornerstones, which includes people from, you know, some of these bands now are almost like tribute bands, even though they're the real name, you know, they're the real guys. But some of them have changed around and so on, and a lot of them aren't with the original band.
Right.
However, I represent us, the New Colony thing, even though I'm really not with the New Colony anymore. But yet, the Colony is still together, and Ray Graffia, the founder, is still with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the other members are, of course, later on people. So they're together, the New Colony, the name's still there, they're still around doing their thing. But the only time I join them is when I'm doing the Cornerstones of Rock thing. And again, the guys represented are, you got people representing, unfortunately, Jimmy Simons died, and he was with Shadows of Night, the lead singer. And so there's a guy representing the glory of the song who pretends to be Jimmy Simons, well, not really, but he goes up and does Gloria, and we all sing along, I guess. And then we have the Ides of March backing everyone up. So you got almost, they're all original, except for one guy that might have died a while back. But the Ides of March are all there, and they're playing, you know, backing up the three of us were representing a new colony, Bruce Maddy, Ray Graffia, myself, and then you have the American Breed isn't on that anymore. There's another guy who passed away, terrible. And as it turns out, right now, without Jimmy Sands and, now you do have the Buckinghams who go on as a whole band. And, but again, Jim Peterick from the Ides of March, he's the one that's actually put this together, presented it to PBS. They're the ones who decide, okay. And we did it. It went over very well because we're working places because of that. And, who else we got? You got these bands represented, and we pay tribute to American Breed, Gary Loizzo, and as it turns out, so it's I think what we got left. We got the Buckinghams represented, New Colony, we got Ides of March, One Tomb by the Shadows of Gloria, and Crying Chains.
Crying Chains. Yeah.
So that's the four right now out of the six that were remaining, and so it's been very successful because I think people in Chicago, for some odd reason, are loyal fans. I mean, they want to continue to support the people that they remember.
Yep.
So it's pretty interesting how that works, you know?
Yeah. Now, Ronnie, how is it when you get on stage after all these years?
Yeah.
And you see all these people out there, and they're going.
I fall off the stage.
They're going crazy.
I usually like to fall off. No, I'm kidding. I'm playing with you. Imagine that.
But I mean,
get up. Are you kidding?
but it must be a thrill for you to see the smiles on their faces and everything.
Oh, you know, after all these years, even when you hear your stuff played as an oldie on the radio stage.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. Now, back then, you kind of took it for granted, because especially if it becomes a winner, mm-hmm. if it's a hit or something, they play the poo-poo out of it. I found myself, believe it or not, after a period of time, first of all, you're so excited that you got a winner, and then you go, oh, there it is. Now you're hearing it again. There it is again. I got to the point, I turned the station because I wanted to hear something besides ours. I heard when it was a hit. I'm going like, wait a minute, it's okay, I got it. Took it for granted. Now I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how that works, you know? I mean, but it's a wonderful thing to get the reaction of the audience, a wonderful thing to be a part of it, because, you know, it's a great ego trip, right?
Yeah.
So it's just great. And I couldn't be asked, this is all I wanted my whole life. So I really got lucky.
Yeah.
Man, did I get lucky. Lord have mercy.
Now, who were your inspirations to get you to want to be?
Oh, well, since I'm older, I'm an old guy. I'm actually only 20, but I sound old. No, I'm kidding. I'm going on 80, so that's, wow, gosh, that sounds old.
Hey, everybody's getting older. Oh, doesn't matter if you're for 2 years old or 80 years old, you're all getting older. There's
let me walk out of this nursing home. Hang on a second. No, I'm not yet. But, you know, I'll tell you the truth. It's, you know, the bottom line is the people I was actually inspired by. Elvis Presley,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Berry, big time,
yeah.
Little Richard, Jerry Lee, I loved him, you know, as much as I loved any, you know, rock. I was big on Ricky Nelson. I used to like him a lot. I used to watch Ozzy and Harriet.
Oh, yeah.
The Beatles were great.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the brightest groups. People I appreciate today from then in the productions of the songs. Paul Simon, again, Beach Boys there from the past. Let's see, who else? I mean, there are songs of quite a few people that I enjoy. But the ones, again, that I grew up with, 90% of what I would hear on a station. And what's interesting is, since I've written ballads, more so than up-tempo, we wanted to get some up-tempo out there, but never really happened.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to kind of get away from the stereotype of doing the ballads. Yet again, that never came down. But as it turns out, again, the inspirations for me were the Elvis was a, I loved Elvis Presley in his younger days, more mm-hmm. so than later.
Yeah.
And, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was probably the ones that I just mentioned. Yeah. I can't think of anybody else, you know. Well, Jimmy Durante. No, I'm kidding. I didn't care about
Yeah, I used to like him.
Yeah, he was.
I loved his movies.
Got, I don't know how he got it on the shows. Yeah. I go like, what is this? This guy's still, oh, man, weird. I couldn't believe it. You yeah. know, back then, I'm listening to Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, and I'm going, really? Nowadays, I can appreciate what he did.
Right.
But yeah. it's funny how you change your... you know, your taste for what's out there.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and it works.
Yeah. Well, Ronnie, I want to finish up with one final question.
I'm ready, Freddie. I mean, Brian, go ahead.
It takes us away from, you know, all the music that you did and everything and what you're doing now. But when you sit back and relax, what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past?
Oh, good question.
And what's your favorite movies now and of the past? What do you enjoy seeing?
Whoa, I'll tell you right away. Favorite movies for me are comedies. I love comedies. In other words, Back to School, great.
Yeah.
I thought it's hilarious. As far as other movies are concerned, I mean, there were quite a few. Untouchables was a great movie. That came to mind just now. What else? What else? If I watch television, believe it or not, like 2 1/2 Men, I find it funny. Mm-hmm. Probably the dirtiest show on television.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was
2 1/2 Men, it's the dirtiest show that ever was. They allow almost everything on that show.
They got away with a lot.
Oh, they did. Yeah. I like that a lot. I watch that, the reruns of it. I've seen them a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
What else is that? What is it? Probably things I just... I usually watch online. I watch stuff that are documentaries, which I like, you know, could be war, could be whatever. I find that interesting.
What did you like when you were a kid?
What did I like?
Yeah.
I like Ozzy and Harriet. I like Triple R. Way up there on a Triple R. And that way I also like Roy Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Happy trails to you. Mm-hmm. And I like Gene Autry's show. And Hopalong Cassidy, and what else did I like? I can't think. I don't know. Let's see, what else did I like? Ooh, I can't think of anything else at the moment.
Were you watching a lot when you were, you know, out with the band, or did you not get to even watch TV back then? You know, in the '60s, you know, when like Bonanza and the Virginia.
Oh yeah,
and
I used to watch
things.
Bonanza as well. Sure, I watched Bonanza. Father Knows Best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny you bring these things to mind. I feel like I'm being interviewed by a psychiatrist. Hey, Ren, what do you remember? Nothing really. But, you know, thank goodness we have memories. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, that's a one good, whether short memory, forget about it. But long term, yeah, those are good. If we take our time, like you said, lay back and think about where you've been and the people you've met. I mean, I'll tell you, it's wonderful. It's really cool. I remember I met Carl Perkins.
Oh,
I tried to give him a tune that I'd written. It was cool. And then, like I say, the Beach Boys, and then we work with Sonny Gerisi, another guy. And there are people, like, again, that you don't even know are familiar with your background that you meet, and then, really? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's really, again, I was a very fortunate cat to do what I always wanted to do. Gosh, was I lucky. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's pretty much the deal. What else you got for me, Brian? I'm ready.
That's about it, Ronnie. I want to thank you so much for one thing. Where can people get to find out where you're going to be playing, you know, at different times throughout the year?
Yeah. Well, let me think of that. Oh, yeah, I got a website. If they want to check in on that, they could do that. Ronnie Rice. Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll give you my... what do you say? Website? What is it? Ronnie.Rice. That's my email number. Wait a minute. Take a look up Ronnie Rice shows.
RonnieRice.com. I know that's one.
Well, that's the RonnieRice.com. Well, it's more than that. But let me give you the easier one. The easier one would be if there's anything open to the public, it's going to be under Ronnie Rice shows.
Oh, okay.
And they can look under that, and they'll find the guy that invented Tropicana. Did tropical suntan lotion or something. What was that guy, Ronnie Rice? You know that? Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know that.
The guy came up with that suntan lotion, not Copper Tone, but the other one. Tropicana?
Tropicana?
Oh, that's orange juice.
That's right.
There is something like
tropical
that.
Tropical something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, the major suntan lotion. The guy's name is Ronnie Rice.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So it's
weird.
Not you.
So,
you were not that.
No, it wasn't me. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't mind having Jim Peedrick's money right now, I'll tell you the truth. Jim Peedrick, as you know, wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yes. Yeah. About getting a hit.
Whoo, Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'll tell you. Yes. But anyhow, so as it turns out, that's about it. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. Well, Ronnie, I thank you so much for joining us, and I want to thank you for the music that you've given us over the years. And
thanks for the interview. I always love talking about me. You know what I mean? But don't let that stop you. Okay, that's good. But anyway, I want to thank you, Brian, because it's always a pleasure. And anyway, I told everybody, if anybody's listening out there, guys, stay happy, stay healthy, and hopefully see you somewhere. And that's about it.
There he is, Ronnie Rice. Want to thank him for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond, giving us the inside scoop from the New Colony Six's hits back in 1968. I Will Always Think About You and Things I'd Like to Say. He was the lead singer for the group at that time with those hits. And it's a lot of fun to hear those stories. It's rock and roll history. What can I say? So be sure to keep listening to On Screen and Beyond for more and more and more people that will bring back memories and also let you in on whether it be the history of rock and roll, or it'll be the history of TV, or the history of movies, or it'll be new movies and new groups and everything else coming your way. It's all right here on Screen and Beyond. So hope you'll enjoy that. And like I said earlier, the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest is going on. So if you want to get in on that, you got to hurry, because we're getting down. It's in the middle of April that you can, you know, have to have all the answers in. And you can go to onscreenandbeyond.com. Right on the front page, we have the information, all the rules and regulations and all that stuff. And also the actual crossword puzzle, you can download it. You can fill it out. You can send it to me. Take a picture of it, send it back to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. We'll take all the people who got the correct answers for every question, put them into a drawing, and you'll have yourself a chance to win an On Screen and Beyond embroidered baseball hat. Really nice thing. And if that's not what you want, you can get yourself an On Screen and Beyond coffee mug. So it's your choice, and we will see what we can do and who is going to be the winner. So be sure to get in on that. But you got to get moving, because the time is running short here. And I'm going to throw out another one of those questions that we did. You know, we've done a couple here. Let's see. One of the other questions that... here's one. On episode 486 with Terry Sylvester of the Hollies, we had Terry here, and he said he grew up as a kid in Liverpool, and who did he say lived the next road over from him? Like I say, if you go to that one, episode 486 with Terry Sylvester, he gives you the answer. I mean, that's all you got to do. It's as simple as that. All the answers, if you can't answer them without, you know, a little help, you can go and you can download the episodes of On Screen and Beyond that we specifically state, so you know where it is and who it is. And you can go hear exactly what the right answer is. Simple. It's just as easy as that. But we're going to give you a lot of time, you know, like I say, but we're running out. We've been going about a month and a half now, a month or so, with, you know, you being able to get these things put together and given to us. And we'll have our drawings coming up. So hope you can get on the stick and get that done. All right. And just go to onscreenandbeyond.com for all the information and the crossword puzzle itself. So that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zimmerack. Take care.